the unknown. The other four belong to the known, exactly where the petty tyrants are lodged. In fact, what turns human beings into petty tyrants is precisely the obsessive manipulation of the known. Don Juan explained that the interplay of all the five attributes of warriorship is done only by seers who are also impeccable warriors and have mastery over will. Such an interplay is a supreme maneuver that cannot be performed on the daily human stage. Four attributes are all that is needed to deal with the worst of petty tyrants, he continued, provided, of course, that a petty tyrant has been found. As I said, the petty tyrant is the outside element, the one we cannot control, and the element that is perhaps the most important of them all. My benefactor used to say that the warrior who stumbles on a petty tyrant is a lucky one. He meant that you're fortunate if you come upon one in your path, because if you don't, you have to go out and look for one. He explained that one of the greatest accomplishments of the seers of the conquest was a construct he called the three-phase progression. By understanding the nature of man, they were able to reach the incontestable conclusion that if seers can hold their own in facing petty tyrants, they can certainly face the unknown with impunity. And then they can even stand the presence of the unknowable. The average man's reaction is to think that the order of that statement should be reversed, he went on. A seer who can hold his own in the face of the unknown can certainly face petty tyrants. But that's not so. What destroyed the superb seers of ancient times was that assumption. We know better now. We know that nothing can temper the spirit of a warrior as much as the challenge of dealing with impossible people in positions of power. Only under those conditions can warriors acquire the sobriety and serenity to stand the pressure of the unknowable. I vociferously disagreed with him. I told him that, in my opinion, tyrants can only render their victims helpless or make them as brutal as they themselves are. I pointed out that countless studies had been done on the effects of physical and psychological torture on such victims. The difference isn't something you just said, he retorted. They are victims, not warriors. Once I felt just as you do. I'll tell you what made me change. But first, let's go back again to what I said about the conquest. The seers of that time couldn't have found a better ground. The Spaniards were the petty tyrants who tested the seers' skills to their limit. After dealing with the conquerors, the seers were capable of facing anything. They were the lucky ones. At that time, there were petty tyrants everywhere. After all those marvelous years of abundance, things changed a great deal. Petty tyrants never again had that scope. It was only during those times that their authority was unlimited. The perfect ingredient for the making of a superb seer is a petty tyrant with unlimited prerogatives. In our times, unfortunately, seers have to go to extremes to find a worthy one. Most of the time, they have to be satisfied with very small fry. Did you find a petty tyrant yourself, Don Juan? I was lucky. A king-size one found me. At the time, though, I felt like you. I couldn't consider myself fortunate. Don Juan said that his ordeal began a few weeks before he met his benefactor. He was barely 20 years old at the time. He had gotten a job at a sugar mill, working as a laborer. He had always been very strong, so it was easy for him to get jobs that required muscle. One day when he was moving some heavy sacks of sugar, a woman came by. She was very well dressed and seemed to be a woman of means. She was perhaps in her 50s, Don Juan said, and very domineering. She looked at Don Juan and then spoke to the foreman and left. Don Juan was then approached by the foreman, who told him that for a fee, he would recommend him for a job in the boss's house. Don Juan told the man that he had no money. The foreman smiled and said not to worry because he would have plenty on payday. He patted Don Juan's back and assured him it was a great honor to work for the boss. Don Juan said that, being a lowly, ignorant Indian living hand-to-mouth, not only did he believe every word, he thought a good fairy had touched him. He promised to pay the foreman anything he wished. The foreman named a large sum, which had to be paid in installments. Immediately thereafter, the foreman himself took Don Juan to the house, which was quite a distance from the town, and left him there with another foreman, a huge, somber, ugly man, who asked a lot of questions. He wanted to know about Don Juan's family. Don Juan answered that he didn't have any. The man was so pleased that he even smiled through his rotten teeth. He promised Don Juan that they would pay him plenty and that he would even be in a position to save money because he didn't have to spend any, for he was going to live and eat in the house. The way the man laughed was terrifying. Don Juan knew that he had to escape immediately. He ran for the gate, but the man cut in front of him with a revolver in his hand. He cocked it and rammed it into Don Juan's stomach. "You're here to work yourself to the bone," he said, "and don't you forget it." He shoved Don Juan around with a billy club. Then he took him to the side of the house, and after observing that he worked his men every day from sunrise to sunset without a break, he put Don Juan to work, digging out two enormous tree stumps. He also told Don Juan that if he ever tried to escape or went to the authorities, he would shoot him dead, and that if Don Juan should ever get away, he would swear in court that Don Juan had tried to murder the boss. "You'll work here until you die," he said. "Another Indian will get your job then, just as you're taking a dead Indian's place." Don Juan said that the house looked like a fortress, with armed men with machetes everywhere. So he got busy working and tried not to think about his predicament. At the end of the day, the man came back and kicked him all the way to the kitchen because he didn't like the defiant look in Don Juan's eyes. He threatened to cut the tendons of Don Juan's arms if he didn't obey him. In the kitchen, an old woman brought food, but Don Juan was so upset and afraid that he couldn't eat. The old woman advised him to eat as much as he could. He had to be strong, she said, because his work would never end. She warned him that the man who had held his job had died just a day earlier. He was too weak to work and had fallen from a second-story window. Don Juan said that he worked at the bottom